Sahanau bhunaktu saha viryam karavavahai tejasvi navaditamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Okay, so let's chant. Let's chant verse 37 and 38, and then okay.
Mm-hmm.
37 and 38. Yeah, for now. I'll see what I'm going to do with these things.
Anvaya vyatireka bhyam.
Anvaya vyatireka bhyam.
Pancha kosha vivekataha.
Pancha kosha vivekataha.
Swatmanam tata udhritya.
Swatmanam tata udhritya.
Param brahma prapatyate.
Param brahma prapadyate.
Abhane stula dehasya.
Abhane stula dehasya.
Swapne yat bhanamatmanaha.
Swapne yat bhanamatmanaha.
Sonvayo vyatire kastat.
Sonvayo vyatirekastat.
Bhane jnanava bhasanam.
Bhane jnanava bhasanam.
Repeat after me. Anvaya.
Anvaya.
Vyatirekabhyam.
Vyatirekabhyam.
Pancha kosha vivekataha.
Panchakosha vivekataha.
Swatmanam.
Swatmanam.
Tata udhritya.
Tata udhritya.
Param brahma.
Param brahma.
Prapadyate.
Prapadyate.
So, anvayavyatireka. Anvayavyatireka bhyam. By means of this logic that we used called anvayavyatireka, which I'm going to explain in some depth, but for now we'll just call it anvayavyatireka, this logic. So by means of the anvayavyatireka, pancha kosha vivekataha, from doing the pancha kosha viveka, from this discrimination of the self from the five koshas, pancha kosha viveka, viveka discrimination, pancha kosha. So you have here, from the viveka of the From doing the panchakosha viveka, that's how we'll say it in English. From doing the panchakosha viveka, which means discriminating these five sheaths in the second line, swatmanam tattaha udhritya. So it says one's own self tattaha udhritya. Udhritya means to release or to pull up from. To pull out of is udhritya. It's an indeclinable past participle, yep. So, from those, tataha, even though it really means from that, they're taking panchakosha, the panchakoshas collectively, so tataha, from those five sheaths. So from the panchakoshas, from those panchakoshas, from those five sheaths, having extracted udhritya, the self, from those five sheaths, Param Brahma Prapadyate. One gains, one attains Brahman, Param Brahman. That Brahman which is Param, Desha Kalavastu Aparichedaha, free from time and space and objectivity. That which is a self-evident, non-dual Brahman. One gains that Brahman, having extricated the self from the five koshas through Panchakosha Viveka, using this logic called Anvaya Vyatireka. And so Vidyaranya uses the Anvayavyatireka in his own way, which I'll explain. I'm going to I'm just going to teach it for a bit, exactly what we mean by the technical technique. We use Anvayavyatireka as a technical, logical device. And then it's not just taking the word Anvaya and the word Vyatireka. You're using it using the term technically, Anvayavyatireka. So when we use it that way, which is the way that Swamiji's always used it, and I don't remember seeing this section where Vidyaranya uses using it a bit differently, but let's just see it how it's technically used first. The Anvaya is the positive concordance, the positive relationship between two things. The common example for the Anvaya is it shows a relationship between two things. Like the common example is when the sun is, the day is. It's like saying when the sun is up, the day is. So now you might think, okay, these two have some sort of a relationship. It could be nothing really. It could be just coincidental. But it's the start of a relationship when the sun is, then the day is. But in order to show that the relationship is real, that there's an actual dependency between the two things, you have to be able to do the Vyatireka. You have to be able to say it in the negative also to show that relationship. So in this case, it works, because if you say when the sun is, the day is, that's the positive relationship. And then the negative relationship is also true. When the sun is not, when the sun goes down, the day is not. And so now, since both the positive and the negative are true, that shows that there's a real relationship between the sun and the day. You see what I mean? So the one is the positive statement is true, the Vyatireka is the negative statement is true. And so here, if I were to say, when the thought is, I am, okay? When the thought is me, this conscious being is. When the thought takes place, I am there. And then I can say, when the thought is not, I'm not. That would be the Vyatireka. But that isn't true. The Vyatireka does not hold. And so even if I take myself to be my mind, it's like when my mind is awake, when my mind is up, or it'll take it just to make it simple, just one thought in a day of thousands of thoughts. So when this thought is there, I am there. When this thought is gone, I am still there. That means that there is no relationship. There's no relationship. So this Anvayavyatireka logic is very important to help me be able to discriminate my own nature. Because in all cases, really, the Anvaya works and the Vyatireka fails, right? So when the body is I am, when the body is not, well, that's when the waker is, I am. When the waker is not, I still am. I don't want to use body because that requires shraddha, you know, and all these other things. But this is just based on our experience. When the body is I am, when the body is not, when the waking state is I am, when the waking state is not, I still am. When the dream state is I am, when the dream state is not, I still am. And so when the deep sleep state is I am, when the deep sleep state is not, as in samadhi, which is the way that Vidyaranya will do it, I still am. So actually, in all cases, even when sadness is there, I am. When the sadness is gone, right, I still am. And so any type of relationship breaks down when, even though the Anvaya will hold, even when the Anvaya will hold, in so many cases, that just portends some sort of a relationship. It suggests a possible relationship. But when the Vyatireka, the negative, doesn't take place, then there's basically no relationship. And so even... Wow. You're interrupting our class. Maybe we'll let you in after all just to keep it quiet.
I'm kidding.
Wow. You can relax to the fading barks.
We still are.
He's taking them up the mountain. Pretty good.
Chasing a car.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. So
there,
after.
Okay. Halfway there. Halfway there. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. I can hear them way down there now. Okay. So, I think at least before we go on, just to kind of realize the power of this, or the truth, the reality of this particular logic, you know? Like, you can use it in doing this type of viveka in reference to who is the invariable here? What is the one you can't get rid of, you know? It looks like there's a relationship from the standpoint of the ajnani. Definitely, because you take yourself to be this body, right? You take yourself to be the body, mind, sense organs. But if you can be without the other, if you can be without the other, then you have, and I want, this is the point, you have no relationship with it. It means that thing's gone. It has nothing to do with you, you know. And so this is kind of, it's very radical. How radical is that? To really recognize that if your being can be without something, then that thing that it's without has nothing to do with you because you are still there. We don't have any problem with this logic in reference to the being in the world. You know, here, you, I, let's see, I am here and you are here. We are both here. I am and you are, okay? You leave the room. Uh-oh, you know, you leave the room. And I am still here. Now, we would sound so silly using that logic because it's so obvious. Like, am I going to worry that if you leave the room, I'm going to die or something? It's not going to happen. And that logic, we just take it totally for granted, you know? When I am, you are. Or when you are, I am. When you are gone, I still am. We use that all the time without ever even thinking about it. It's absolutely natural. But when you apply that logic to your experience in reference to these upadis, right, then it's a whole different story, but the logic holds just as tightly. You know? If I, even in terms of your thoughts, in terms of your emotion, when the sadness is, I am. When the sadness is gone, I still am. You know? When the sukha is, I am. When the sukha is gone, I still am. You know, the vritti ananda, when the vritti ananda is, I am. When the vritti ananda is gone, I still am. Mm-hmm. You know? When I am in a relationship, I am. When I am here, my partner is here. When my partner is gone, I am still here. The relationship is a relationship. It's a different kind of relationship, but my being is not dependent upon that relationship. We have a relationship, we have sacred relationships, all kinds of relationships. But one member of the relationship goes and I'm still there, it is not an identity. There's all kinds in the world, we have so many kinds of relationships, but they are not identities. I take myself to be this body that has this Annamaya Kosha, that has the Pranamaya Kosha, that has this prana, this life force. You know, if I just go inward, then I have the karmendriyas that go, the organs of action that go with the prana, that's all there, this body's moving. I have the Manomaya Kosha with the sense organs. I have the Vijnanamaya Kosha, the buddhi with the sense organs. I have the Anandamaya Kosha. Why do we say that? Because there's Ajnanam there. It's Vritti Ananda. The Ananda comes and goes. The Atma doesn't come and go. So the Anandamaya Kosha is there. I am the Anandamaya Kosha is not operating properly. I still am. Means I'm not experiencing it. So this logic is something, if you understand it, it's kind of an irrefutable logic. What can you do about it, you know? And so that's why in this verse it says, through the understanding of this unbhaya vyatireka, we do the panchakosha viveka, this discrimination of myself, in reference to these five sheaths. We do that discrimination really using this unbhaya vyatireka logic, you know, and having done that, from doing that, myself is extricated from these panchakoshas. And extricating myself from the panchakoshas, I become, I attain param brahma. I am always Brahman. There's never a time that the Atma is not Brahman. The problem why we have to say yourself is limitless consciousness, is Brahman, is param, limitless Brahman. Why we have to say that? It's because of the panchakoshas. Mm-hmm. Because of panchakosha aviveka. The lack of discrimination between myself and these five koshas. Or the stula sukshma karana shariras aviveka between myself, right? Between myself and these shariras, the causal body, the subtle body, the physical body. I take myself, if we did that meditation where it's kind of nice, okay, just be your body. Forget about it, be your body. Okay, good, thank God. Okay, I don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about it. You have to worry about the satya mitya. You have to understand the satya mitya to be able to have that be something meaningful. But here with the viveka, I have to recognize myself in reference to all of these things, that I'm what we call the invariable. I'm the one that doesn't go away. If I think there's a relationship, but one of them goes away and I remain, then that relationship was false. There was no identity. There was no real relationship there. And not only that, there never has been. Because it could never go away if it was ever there. So in fact, nothing has really happened other than the removal of ajnana through these logics. Okay. Okay, so before we go on to how Vidyaranya does it, I want to make this talk about this difference with the and then we'll move into how he's doing it so that we can do these verses in this way. So the normal technical unbhaya vyatireka as a logical piece, it's when this is that is positive relationship. When this is not, that is not negative relationship. The two hold because they can't be separate from each other. So there's some sort of identity there. Okay. He doesn't use it that way. So for us, if the two match, when this is, that is, when this is not, that is not, then you have both the unbhaya, the positive correlation, and the negative. And that shows a real relationship. But if it's not like that, when this is, that is, when this is not, that still is, then there is zero relationship. So that's how we usually use it. Now, what Vidyaranya is doing is using unbhaya and vyatireka not in this technical way. He's using it in a way that is kind of the dictionary meaning of each individual word. And so in that case, you would go like this. The unbhaya shows a positive relationship. Okay. And that positive relationship is going to show, it'll show initially the invariable. The idea, let me put it this way, the idea for him in the unbhaya vyatireka is to discover the invariable. And the invariable is going to be the thing that doesn't drop off. So, for instance, if I say, when the sun is, the day is, there's the positive, you know. And if I say, when the sun is not, the day is not, nothing is leaving. Nothing is leaving. And so the vyatireka then, the vyatireka, that negation doesn't take place. So he looks at the word vyatireka as a negation, where we look at it as saying the same thing in the negative. Right? When this is, that is. When this is not, that is not. That's not a negation. That is saying to see if the relationship holds up in the negative as it holds up in the positive. When this is, that is. When this is not, that is not. What he's saying is this, how he's working with this, is using these two terms, the variable and the invariable. And so let me give you an example. It would be like using the deep sleep and the waking, the three states of experience are good for this, and this is why he's using it this way in reference to the three states of experience. So he will say like this, and we'll see it in the Sanskrit in a minute. he would say like, when the waking state is, I am, right? But then when the dream state is, so when the waking state is, I am. So there's a relationship there. So when the waking state is, I am. When the dream state is, I still am. But what is dropped off? Right. Because I don't say, when the waking state is, I am. When the dream state is, I am, and so is the waking state. The waking state has lost. It's been negated, right? So it has become a variable. If I say, when the dream state is, I am. But when the deep sleep state is, the sukshma sharira, that one, I still am. We say, I still am. When the dream state is, I am. When the deep sleep state is, I still am. But what has happened to the dream state? It has dropped off. That's the negation, that it becomes a variable. Another example we'll see this in the Sanskrit, but just to get the general idea. Another way of an example that we use for dealing with it in this way is, say you have a string of beads. So the string, you have 100 beads, you know, and then you have what's called the sutra. The string goes through all of those beads. So there's an anvaya in reference to the string. The string is always there in every bead, right? So the string is always there in every bead, but then the string, the bead, not every bead is not in every bead, right? So the beads drop off. The beads are not related. So I could put one bead on a string, and then that string becomes the invariable as I put a second bead on. The second bead is totally different than the first bead. I put a third bead on. The third bead is totally different than the second bead and the first bead. But what is the same is the string. So the beads negate each other. One bead is different from the next bead, is different to the next bead, is different from the next bead, but there is one invariable, and that is the string that goes through every single bead. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the invariable is the one that always remains. The variables are the ones that drop off along the way. So you can use this anvaya and then vyatireka in this way also in reference to in your experience, let's find the invariable. The invariable is the one that doesn't drop off. The invariable is the one that you can't be without. So you can get rid of the waking state, but you're still there. You're there in the waking state, you're there in the dream state, you're the invariable. The waking state drops off. Between the dream state and the deep sleep state, you are the invariable. The dream state is not there in the deep sleep state, you are still there. we have to wake up to realize that. I've explained that, but I will be explaining it again. Then Vidyaranya takes it even farther. We don't usually bother with this, but it's fine. He says, in the deep sleep state, you are there, but in samadhi, in the samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, that ajnanam, which is responsible for the deep sleep state, is not there. So still, you are the invariable. So say in the Mandukya Upanishad, we have the four quarters. We have the Vishwa, or Virat, is one quarter. We have Hiranyagarbha, Taijasa, is the second quarter. We have the Prajna and Ishwara, the third. Stula, Sukshma, Kalana, Shariras. And then we have the as the fourth quarter, which is just Brahman itself, which is the invariable that is there present in all the other three quarters. Why do we say Brahman itself? Because the Brahman does not require or does not need, as in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, and as if you have Shraddha in the Shastra, when the creation being Mithya, I'm coming into unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest, those invariables, the self can be without those invariables, all three. And so we call Brahman Turiya, that fourth straight state. Swamiji will make kind of a joke, saying just like Turiya is like a dollar bill. Because a dollar bill is its own reality, and you can divide it up into quarters, you know. But really, there's only $1. There's only $1 there. You divide it up into, you know, one quarter, 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar. But the dollar bill is only one thing, so never mind. That's called Turiya. It's called the fourth. Turiya means the fourth. But the fourth is the one that is the invariable, as the satyam of all the other three. That's the idea. And so, if you think of if we're going to look at the Brahman just by itself, and we think nirvikalpa samadhi, where there is no ajnanam there. You understand? So. That's how he is using the Anvaya Vyatireka. So, understanding that, then let's read the Sanskrit. So, repeat after me. Abhane.
Abhane.
Stula Dehasya. Swapne,
swapne,
yadbanam,
yadbanam,
atmanaha,
atmanaha,
saha anvayaha,
saha anvayaha,
vyatirekaha,
vyatirekaha,
tadbane,
tadbane,
anya,
anya,
anavabhasanam,
anavabhasanam.
So here it says, abhane stula dehasya. Stula deha is stula sharira. So, banam and abanam. Banam means when something's presenting itself. Abanam is when it's not. So here it says, abane stula dehasya, when the physical body is not there, is not being experienced. Okay, it's not shining. Abane stula deha, so when the stula deha, physical body, so when there's no shining of the physical body. Because banam, we don't have it in English. Banam or ba, it means that this is here to be experienced. It's presenting itself, right? So it's shining, it's presenting itself. Mm-hmm. So when the stula deha is not there, it's not being experienced, abhane stula dehasya, swapne yad banam atmanaha. Then, it's sort of to go further, when the stula deha is not there, then swapne yad banam, but that shining, there is that shining in the dream state. Okay? So what happens is now, just this far, so when the stula deha is not being experienced, but then in the dream state, right, that shine, that it is there that the atma is shining. See, it says, yad banam atmana. In that state, the self is shining. In what state? In the dream. So you can take like this, when, take abhane, just to get the grammar. When there is no shining for the physical body, when there is no experience of the physical body, then in dream means now in the dream, when there is bhanam, when there is the experience of the dream, there, when there's no shining of the stula deha, the physical body, in the dream state. So you have to take it like this, okay? When there is no experience of the physical body in the dream state, then there is still yad bhanam atmanaha. The self is still shining. So he's leaving out this obvious part that here's the dream. So in the dream state is here, the atma is there. It is shining. There's bhanam for the atma is there. But in the dream state, now what happens is that there is no shining of the stula deha. It's not being experienced. So in the dream state then negates the waking state. The waking state falls by the wayside. That's what we mean by vyatireka. It's falling by the wayside. And so now in the dream state, the waking state has fallen off, but what hasn't fallen off? The atma, the shining, the self-evident nature of the atma is still there. So the dream state replaces the waking state. The waking state, vyatireka, it falls off, you know. But the atma is still remaining. So the atma is enjoying this continuance. So anvaya is being used as continuance. There's a continuance of the atma while these other things keep falling off. So first the waking state has fallen off. The atma is still there. Now the dream state is falling off. The atma is still there. So he says, saha anvayaha vyatirekaha tad ba'a. This is only these two. So saha anvaya, that is the anvaya, right? The anvaya, that the atma is still there, remaining. It's in both. That is the anvaya. Vyatirekaha tadbane anya anavabhasanam. Anavabhasanam. What's the vyatireka? It's when that atma is shining, the other thing, in this case, the deep sleep state, is not shining. Avabhasanam means it's not being experienced. So the waking state is not being experienced. The atma is there. It's shining. The waking state is not being experienced when? In the dream state. But in the dream state, there's a continuance of the self, right? And so the continuance of the self is called the anvaya. The dropping off of the waking state is called the vyatireka. Wherever there's a discontinuance, that's the vyatireka. Okay. So now we're stuck in this verse. Because now, when the swapna is there and the dream is there, there is no experience at all of the waking state. So it's dropped. There's anavabhasa. Avabhasana means shining, okay, like bhana. So it's dropped off. That's the vyatireka. Okay, we have to chant this one. Okay.
Linga bhane sushupta usya.
Linga bhane sushupta usya.
Atmano bhanam anvayaha.
Atmano bhanam anvayaha.
Yatire kastu tat bhane.
Yatire kastu tat bhane.
Lingasya bhanam uchyate.
Lingasya bhanam uchyate.
Same thing is going to happen here. linga is the sukshma sharira, the subtle body. So when there's linga abhane, when the subtle body is not shining, is not presenting itself, it's not being experienced, sushuptau, in the deep sleep state, okay, syat, when it is not, the atmanaha, the self, atmanaha bhanam, the self continues to shine. Okay, so there's the anvayaha. That's the anvayaha of the atma. There's a continuance of the atma. What is now dropped off for the vyatireka is the linga sharira, is the subtle body. So the subtle body drops off. That's the vyatireka. There's a discontinuance in terms now. First it was a discontinuance of the physical body. Now it's a discontinuance of the subtle body, and the atma is still hanging in there. All right, the anvaya. The continuance of the atma is still there. So it says that shining of the atma in the deep sleep state when there is no experience of the linga, right? Linga abhane. So when there's no experience of the subtle body, The Atma is still shining there in the deep sleep state, and that is the Anvaya. Now it says the Vyatirekaha too, whereas this, the Vyatireka, what's the Vyatireka? What drops off? So he says, Tadbane, when there is shining of of the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep state, lingasya abhanam, the subtle body, there is the not shining, not experience of the subtle body. So that is called the Vyatireka, because the subtle body drops off. Everybody get it? See? Okay, we're going to do the next one later and we'll talk about something else related. Some of this is really, it's in a way, it's initially quite technical. So when you're trying to listen to it and you've got the Sanskrit and then you've got the English and then you have these logical, you know, procedures that we have to go through, all these logical procedures, it can get a little bit much. But what has to happen here with all of this is, first of all, you have to kind of understand that we're going to be going through it many, many times, but we have to, like this Anvaya Vyatireka, we have to recognize the truth of it. Because in recognizing the truth of it, even say, for instance, in meditation, there is a continual Anvaya Vyatireka taking place in meditation. Because if you're just sitting, that's why sometimes it's good to sit here quietly and recognize what stays with Vidyaranya's terminology of it, you just recognize what stays and what goes. There's only one thing that stays. There's not two. There's only one thing that stays. Everything else is in flux. It's changing. Now, another way to understand, to make this, understand this so that your mind doesn't get muddled with different levels of things that we have to go through, like the reality of this physical world, the mityatva and all of that. So we just think of it as experience. The experiences that you're having, right? The self experience is just simply what it is. Now, does that self, this me experience, include the breath? Is the breath, the inhale and the exhale, does that experience belong to me, to consciousness? Does the experience of my thoughts, does that belong to consciousness? Right? Because if it does, then these things I always have to be aware of. Now, this is what I mean by experience. This is a subtle little thing. You can say, well, you know, if I wasn't breathing, I would be dead. As long as I'm here, then the breathing is going to be on. So, yes, the breathing belongs to me, belongs to my physical body anyway. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, does your being, the me, the conscious being, include the breath? Means that whatever you're aware of, wherever you are, breath is included. Right? Experientially. I cannot not experience my breath. Wherever I am, I'm experiencing my breath. you're hardly ever experiencing your breath. It's not that the breath is not there, but how often are you walking around focused on your breath? I don't think very often. We do that like if we're doing pranayama or we're doing yoga and we're doing meditation, and sometimes I use the breath, focus on your breath. But then when I'm focusing on the breath, there's a subject-object relationship. I'm actually watching the breath, you know, come and go. Exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. I don't ever even take myself to be the breath, actually. But this is the point. Does just using the breath, does the self-experience include the experience of the breath? Does this me experience include the experience of a thought? Or of a bunch of thoughts? Even one thought? And you would have to say, no. Why no? Because I can be without that thought. Don't even think about physical thought. As though there's a physical thought, physical subtle thought. It's not about that. It's about the experience. What is your self-experience? Is the thought always included in your self-experience? Is your emotion stuck? Is your emotion always included in your self-experience? We would say, no, they continually drop off. So all you have to do is sit quietly. Just don't worry about the physicality or the matter and all of this. We'll get rid of that later. Now let's just think about in terms of experience. What experiences stay and what experiences go? Any experience that comes and or goes is not you. Right? You're here. This is the anvaya. You are here before, during, and after any conceivable experience. Now, you have the physical body. Here it is. We're carrying it around with us all of the time. You know, but how many times does that mean that you're always carrying it around and you're always aware of the body experience? Not at all. You know, what about when you're listening to an audiobook like me, or you're reading a book, or you're in conversation with a friend? Yeah. You don't have any focus on your physical body at all. To have this physical body even be known, you have to have your sense organs focused on it. In order to have the experience of this body, it requires your sense organs. So this body is not something that is an intrinsic experience of consciousness. My conscious being. The experience of the body is not included in consciousness. But consciousness must always be there for the body to be experienced, but I can be without the experience of the body. Right? So the body is vyatireka, it's disposable, it's a variable. Is there any experience that I need in order to be? Try to think of one. Experience. Don't worry about physical matter and all that. Experience. Is there any experience that is part of me other than just me, conscious being? Is there a thought, a mood, an emotion? All the experiences in the world are coming and going. So it's really interesting. There's only one thing that is not. And so all of the experiences that you have that come and go, they're simply not you. Because you don't come and go. You're the invariable. It's like the waking state comes, it's replaced by the dream state. The dream state comes, it's replaced by the deep sleep state. The deep sleep comes, it's replaced by samadhi. For somebody otherwise, it's replaced by the waking state. All of these experiences come and go. Only one thing doesn't. So understanding this anvaya vyatireka is so useful in just sitting with yourself. Think only in terms of experience. What is the experience that is stuck to me, that is the invariable? What experience is an invariable? Means if I'm not having that experience, then I don't exist. Without that experience, I don't exist. Yeah. What is that? What would that experience be? What experience can't you be without? Try to think of one. Where you can say, well, I can't be without consciousness. Correct. I am consciousness. I can't be without existence. Correct. Satchit. The consciousness which is existence is the invariable. That experience, you can't take anything away from it. You know, there's nothing that can fall off of it. So that invariable is the pervasive adhishtana, you know, adhishtana of everything else is mithya. Why? Because it's coming and going. You have this experience, it comes and goes. All experiences, they come into being, they go out of being. There's no exception. Since there's no exception, you can just sit quietly in meditation, just be awake, recognizing all of these experiences that are coming and going in me. What is not coming and going? That is aparoksha jnanam. That is not an intellectual. You use your mind, of course, but there's the fact of it. The fact of it is that nothing, the self-experience is the anvaya. It's a continuance. It never stops. It does not come and go. In fact, it's timeless. Everything else comes and goes. Every single experience, it comes and goes, and so therefore is not essential to me in any way. And all of those experiences that come and go, we say, are mithya. They have no being apart from me. Why? Because they come and go. If they come and go, they come into being and they go out of being. That means they're bordered by non-existence. So when they're here, they enjoy being the satchit of myself, but they're mithya. So they come, they go, they come and they go. Where do they go? Who knows? Who knows? Anybody say you have a thought flow? Where are all those thoughts going? Don't they probably go into the chitta, you know? Into the unconscious. But in terms of consciousness, so they're not there. They come into being and they go out of being. If they're a memory, then they can go and be stored in the banks of the chitta. But those experiences come and go. I'm talking experiences now. This is a huge thing. So it makes recognizing yourself simple. Because there's only one thing that doesn't come and go. And that one thing is you. And so you already know that you are the center of every experience that you have. Every single experience that you have is your experience. So that means you have what's called an anuvritti. An anuvritti is like an anvaya. Same type of word. It's not the same root, but it's the same idea. You have an anuvritti means no matter what the experiences are, you are like the thread. You're like the thread. You know, the one who is there as all of these beads pass through. You're the thread, you're the anvaya, you're the thing that never is not there, you know. And so if you just sit with your experience and that's the fact of it, say if that's the fact, then you can recognize that fact. That, I'm not coming and going. Is that really me? Try to make it go. You know, if that anvaya is there, if that's what we call the invariable, just check and see. Is that the invariable? Is this what I'm thinking is me? You know, is it the invariable? If it's the invariable, you can't make it go. It's there. You are there as the constant in every experience you have. So that's something. There's a viveka. There's a differentiation between you, your being, the self experience, and the things that change. That's the viveka. So now when we say pancha kosha viveka, there's a viveka, a discrimination that takes place, can take place, needs to take place between the self experience and the body experience, between the self experience and the karmendriyas, the organs of action and the prana. There's a viveka, discrimination that takes place between me and the mind, between me and the buddhi, between me and the ananda that comes and goes. Right? So all of, in the Panchakosha Viveka, all of these experiences are continually shifting, continually changing. The self experience is not. And so you can discriminate between the two. And then when you've, having discriminated yourself between all of these, now in these five koshas, or in the waking, dream, and deep sleep, that's another exercise in discriminating these states of experience from you, you know, then even doing the Panchakosha Viveka, and then the discrimination between the three states of experience. Experience is an important word, you know. All of these things just zero in on who you are. Who you are, the invariable, the one that is present in every experience. Like if I just asked you a simple question, not even to do with Vedanta, I would sound like I had something wrong with me, but if I asked you, like, you know, are you there in every experience you have? In all the experiences you have? Are you having those experiences? The experiences you have? Are you having them? Well, what are you saying? What do you think? But I mean, it's the mental. But if you take that a bit further, you know, if you're there in every experience that you have, and all the experiences negate themselves, like the dream state negates the waking, and the deep sleep state negates the dream and the waking, every single experience you have negates or replaces the prior experience, and you're there in all of them, then what do you have to do with those experiences? They're certainly not fundamental to your being. They have nothing to do with you, because you remain exactly the same. That exactly is the satyam, the mitya, maya world that is objectifiable, being totally dependent upon its adhishtana, me. I am the invariable. So there's no reason, if we're paying attention, to not be able to, in contemplation and at the time of teaching, to go, whoa, that is true. That is true. What can I do about it? What can you do about that? The experiences come and go and you remain. What can you do about it? Then you have to focus on, wow, who am I, the one that remains? So what do you do about that? You have to just be present to the totality of your experience. The self-evident, self-shining, conscious being, you know, is ever present. You can't get rid of it. It's really fun to try to get rid of it, actually. You could say, let me put a bag over it, or let me turn my attention away. You can turn your attention in a million different directions, and yourself is just there illumining whatever it is. Nothing happens. So that recognition is the viveka that is necessary in order for me to know who I am. Right? I'm certainly not the experiences that come and go if I'm still here. So it's very, very nice.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
No. Oh, no problem. Oh. That's it.
I was thinking smelling it.
Well, I shouldn't do it. It's an interesting smell. But it's not from that distance. It's not a problem. It's beautiful, actually.
Mm-hmm.